It's the Thursday Movie Review. This is Geoff Hopkins, joined by the film critic Mark Searby to take a look at some of the films opening in cinemas this weekend. Hello to you.
Hello.
All right?
Yeah, good. Busy.
The Easter bank holiday kind of finished, and then it's like it never happened, isn't it?
I have no idea what day it is either.
Thursday. Okay.
Thursday night.
Hence the Thursday Movie Review. Yeah. That's clever, isn't it? It's almost like historical week this week. We've got a Hollywood biopic opening this weekend. But I thought we'd start with a film that has Gemma Arterton leading the way. Their finest. We're going back to wartime, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a story about a British film crew who attempt to boost morale during World War II by making a propaganda film about Dunkirk. Now, obviously, we've spoken about this previously, that later in the year, Christopher Nolan, who did the Batman films, has got a film coming out called Dunkirk.
He does, yes.
Yes, very excited for that. But before that, we've got this small British BBC Films production about Dunkirk, but it's more about the British film industry at that time. So Their Finest doesn't go too deep into the entire behind-the-scenes idea. Instead, it focuses solely on a trio of writers as they struggle to write and make a film that is not too detrimental to British spirit at all. The film is very dialogue-heavy. There's hardly any scenes outside of small rooms. There's one shot of after an air raid, but that's it. It's about the actual characters, and they're all very easy to like. And the film mainly focuses on Catherine Cole, who's played by Gemma Arterton, and she manages to get a job writing for film when she's never done anything like this before. And she becomes this pivotal woman in the British film industry, and everybody's kind of shocked as to how she's got this job. And there's some very funny one-liners. There's a great moment where another female says to Catherine, "Some men are scared we won't go back in our boxes after the war is finished." I mean, it's a delightful quip, and one that's got a very obviously powerful meaning to it as well. As such, the film, I think, is geared more towards being a positive feminist movie, and I found it to be very entertaining. Of course, it helps that Gemma Arterton is outstanding. She's ably assisted by Ipswich's own Sam Claflin. It is a small film. It's got a medium-sized cast, but it's got a big British heart to it.
A lot of charm to it, you're saying?
Oh, yeah. It charmed me from, like, minute one.
Okay, Their Finest. It is new at cinemas this weekend. Staying with a kind of historical theme then, we're going to Hollywood. We're swapping sides at the Atlantic. I don't know much about this guy, Howard Hughes. Maybe you can enlighten me a little.
Yeah, the film's kind of about Howard Hughes, but kind of not as well. It's strange.
How does that work?
Like,
right.
Well, it's strange like this. It's directed by Warren Beatty, who hasn't directed a film for 8 years, and he returns with this, I would call it an unconventional love story about an aspiring actress and a limousine driver. But then you've got this backstory about the billionaire Howard Hughes as well. And I think anything that deals with Howard Hughes, you're going to get mythology surrounding it, because he was such a mysterious figure that it's difficult to pin down one version of him. And in Rules Don't Apply, he doesn't come into it for a long time. So the main focus is on Marla Mabry, which is a brilliant name. I love that name. And she arrives in LA, wants to become a superstar, and she's instantly attracted to power and wealth that Howard Hughes has got. So she strikes up this friendship with his limo driver called Frank. And that's when Hughes becomes interested in this gorgeous woman who wants to be a starlet. The romance story arc between the three of them is very much girl loves a bad boy, effectively. And I kind of think that the first third of the movie is a bit tepid in that regard. It's only when Hughes, played by Warren Beatty, turns up that the film actually picks up, and we see kind of him being his bizarre self, really. He buys all of these flavours of ice cream and yet doesn't know where to store them. So he buys like millions of buckets of ice cream and then just stores them in heat temperatures. This is how eccentric he is, really. It does touch on his work with aeroplanes. The romance angle, once Hughes has arrived, is almost pushed to one side in favour of showing how much of a celebrity Hughes is. It's possibly just one of those standard run-of-the-mill romances if Howard Hughes, the mythology, wasn't involved in it.
Is it worth spending like 15 quid to go and see it then?
I don't really think it is. It feels very much like a TV movie, but with the star power of Warren Beatty in it.
DVD then, couple of picks that are out this week. Tom Hanks, a film that came out last year, Landing Planes on Water, that amazing story. I think we all remember the pictures of the people in the Hudson River in New York. Tom Hanks playing the pilot involved in this, wasn't he?
Yes. Captain Chelsley Sullenberger. And obviously, it's the true story of him landing the plane on the Hudson River. It's directed by Clint Eastwood. And it's a survival story, effectively. Not only a survival of being in the plane and landing it safely, but the media onslaught that Sully went through afterwards and he had to endure. And basically, we see a lot of that. So it's kind of trial by fire. We see him in the courtroom. These accusations are flying around and he's trying to just live his normal life. And yet all of these newspapers and TVs are painting this really bad picture about him. Tom Hanks is great. Tom Hanks is always great anyway. He's perfectly cast as Sully. He's very much an accidental hero than anything else. It is basically a rousing film.
It's got a bit of a back catalogue of airport and airplane-based movies. I really love The Terminal.
The Terminal's great, isn't it?
Great film. Very uplifting film. Okay, Sully, Tom Hanks is landing planes on water. It's on DVD. And a bit of an epic watch. Your final pick this week, OJ Made in America. How many hours as long as this?
It's nearly 8 hours.
And you watched it, you were telling me this now, in two sittings?
Two sittings, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this is the story of OJ Simpson. I don't know much about this. Obviously, there's been a lot of coverage, but you'd have to fill me in a little bit here.
This is why you should be watching the documentary, though.
Okay, okay. You
know? Yeah, it tells the entire story of Orenthal James Simpson. So it starts with his early life, American football career, to his post-career. Then it takes on the in-depth look at, obviously, the murder and then the subsequent trial and then his acquittal. And then it goes beyond that as well. It won the Oscar for Best Documentary, and I think it's very easy to see why. And yes, 8 hours is an exhaustive look, but it does take you through the highs and lows. The early four hours, they're ridiculous. The early 4 hours are a section which I never knew anything about because we see him playing American football. And I think most of us probably didn't know this. He was basically the David Beckham of American football. We see him pick up the ball and he runs like 60 yards. Nobody can catch this guy. This guy was a legend. And what happens is he slowly starts moving over from his, I would say, urban background route into this Hollywood mansion. And, you know, he's out there, he's hanging around with all these people, he's getting free drinks. So the first 4 hours are very interesting to find out that backstory. Then, obviously, by about 4.5 hours, you start to get the part where he meets his wife, Nicole, and then it goes into everything that happened and the trial. And that's when it becomes a real riveting watch. And even now, 20 years later, what happened during that trial is shocking. But at the same time, you kind of feel like you're waiting for it to happen because of what they're talking about. And even near the end of the 8 hours, you get a sense that you really don't know OJ at all, because the problem is OJ himself has lost sight of who he was, is, over this time. So I think it's a very powerful documentary about how life can go so right and then so wrong, even for the most high profile of celebrities.
Did you just say that after 8 hours, we still don't know who he is?
Yeah,
you're not selling this to me, I have to be honest.
Honestly, it's so bizarre because you finish watching it for 8 hours and you go, I'd watch another 8 hours?
Really?
Yeah,
is it that riveting?
Yes.
Oh, I guess it won an Oscar for a reason. Okay, OJ, Made in America, 8 hours of it. Do you have to pay like 8 times the price of a normal DVD as
a
result?
Do you know what? It's perfectly priced at a really good one as well.
So what's coming up then?
So next week, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, the big return for another Marvel franchise. But more importantly, a big announcement from me.
Oh, you'll hear it here first. Next week on the Thursday Movie Review, have a good weekend.
I will do, you too.
And we'll do more next week.